Good morning. How are you guys? Hey, we're starting a brand new series today. We just finished Ecclesiastes and starting a brand new series today called Family Matters. And we're going to be talking about relationships, healthy relationships in our families. And it's going to be an absolutely fabulous series. Shelley, our children's pastor, is going to be a part of this series. Josiah, our student ministries pastor, is going to be a part. Tom and Mario and I will all be teaching. And it's going to be a great series here through the month of August as we examine relationships within our families. So let me ask you this morning, my name's Jason. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Gateway. And if you're joining us online, glad you're here and glad you're all here in the room as well. And so let me ask you this morning, do you ever live in conflict? Somebody said every day. Yeah, I think that's true. Let me ask you some of these first world conflicts that take place. How about this, Coke or Pepsi? It's conflict. I'm conflicted. How about tall or grande when we go to get our coffee in the morning? We just don't know, decaf, caffeinated. How about this one? This is a hot one in our house. Fruit Loops or Lucky Charms? It's conflict, I'm telling you. How about this one? Take the ferry or drive around? Lately, drive around has been the best choice. I think I heard on Friday night the wait at the Edmonds dock was 4 hours. And so you could drive around twice in that time. So, for all you tech people, this one is a hot one. I'm conflicted about this because I have been one side for years, and I recently got a different one, and so I'm not quite sure. How about this, Mac or PC? That's a conflict, I'm telling you. I've been a Mac guy for years, and I have a PC, and I actually kind of like it. So I'm internally conflicted. How about this one? I saw a young man with a shirt on back there. UW or WSU? Yeah, see, I'm a WSU. My undergrad's from WSU, so there we go. I got good karma with that guy. How about this one? Seahawks or 49ers? That could be a conflict. Not for me. I'm true to the blue. I'm Seahawks all the way. I was wearing my Seahawks garb on Friday afternoon, so that can be a conflict for some people. But this series really is not talking about those kind of conflicts. Talking about relational conflicts. The reality is we each have relational conflicts, and oftentimes within our own families, they can be greater or they can be more intense. Think about this. I was actually praying this morning, getting ready to come to the building, and God kind of reminded me, he said, Jason, you've been dealing with conflict since Adam and Eve. They were in conflict. Can you just imagine Adam saying this to Eve? And I don't mean to make light of this, but can you imagine Adam's words after everything transpired? He goes, I told you so. Think about this one. Cain and Abel. Pretty nasty conflict. How about Jacob and Esau? We see conflict all throughout the Bible. Paul and Barnabas. Saul and David. We see conflict. It's just a natural part of our lives. But the challenge is, how do we respond to it? And so this series, we're going to be talking about responding to that conflict in a healthy way. Conflict is one of the most difficult things that we experience in life. Because conflicts can last for a long time. But the good news is we don't have to hold on to those. And the great news is God gives us a blueprint to be able to handle that conflict in a healthy way and to be able to live lives free, not necessarily free of conflict, but free of the lingering effects of that conflict. So let's dive in. Why do we have conflict? We've just been talking about this. If we understand what the Bible teaches about sin, we will immediately see why we have conflict. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Now, there's a key portion of that scripture that I want you to focus in on for a second. It says, those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. See, if you consider the concept of sin, the DNA of sin is selfishness. Think back in your own lives. Now, I know none of you sin, so I'll have to think back in my life. If you think back, Think about sin. It is commonly selfishness. The DNA of sin is selfishness. Sin makes everything about me. I want to win. I want to control. It has to be, I have to be the focus. See, we all have narcissism within us. We all have a little bit if we're honest. And if we aren't honest, then we're in sin. But we all contend to want to focus on me, and our culture does not help us. Our culture says, do what's right for you. Do what feels good now. Make it all about you. You deserve this. Advertising executives are excellent at this. They get us to think that it's all about us, and that's what we need. See, sin is about self. Sin makes me want to control and win. And when conflicts arise, how do we handle it? See, God created us for relationship. And this, again, goes back to Adam and Eve. We were meant to have a relationship, the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There was this unity. There was no conflict. And after the fall, that relationship was broken. And we just celebrated communion, talking about God building that bridge between humanity and himself to fix that relationship. But the problem is we still live in a fallen world, and we won't have that relationship that we were meant to have with him until we're in heaven someday and we have that unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and us. See, we were meant to live in relationship. The problem was after the fall, conflict entered the scene. Sin entered the scene, and so we've been living with that ever since, and we each have to wrestle with that every day in our own life. See, God desires that we have healthy relationships and with each other, and that starts in one place, our relationship with him. Our relationship with him is critical to our ability to handle conflict in a healthy way. I don't know about you, I don't really like conflict, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, the fight or flight response. I don't really like conflict, but God, we have to deal with it, and we're going to deal with it in some way. See, when it comes to every conflict, there are some key elements to our response, and this is something that if you can get it in your brain, it will help you. Whenever conflict arises, these three things. One, number one, listen. Number two, forgive. Number three, extend grace. Those three things right there might be the most important thing you hear this morning. Listen, forgive, and extend grace. Before or during a conflict, we tend to want to win. We tend to want to fight. Some of us tend to want to run. But some want to fight and you want to win. Sometimes we have to listen. Forgiveness in conflict is deadly. If there is a lack of forgiveness, if you've been holding on to something, if you've been keeping score and like, well, when they do this, then I'll forgive them. Or if they do enough, then I'll forgive them. But unforgiveness can be paralyzing to our walk with Christ, because when we hold on to that, it colors our heart. It affects how we live. It affects how we think when we deal with that person that we're meant to have a healthy relationship with. It clouds our judgment when it comes to dealing with that conflict. Some relationships, actually all relationships, are worth fighting for. You might have a relationship, and I've had some relationships in my lifetime with whether it's a boss or a coworker or something like that, and sometimes it just seems like things won't get better. I have friends who have been divorced, and they've told me, Jason, that we just couldn't work it out. Things just weren't good. They were too tough. Couldn't work it out. Some relationships you have to fight for. We have to fight for our relationships as believers. We have to fight for our relationships as a church. Because guess what? When you get in a room this size and we have four different gatherings, not everybody's going to look at things the same way. We all have a lens that we look through. I look through the Jason lens. You look through the you lens. And we're not necessarily going to see eye to eye on everything. We have to fight for relationships sometimes. We have to fight to be in those healthy relationships. And one of the key relationships that is difficult, and this is a tender subject with some, our relationships with our human fathers, our earthly fathers, has a direct correlation with our relationships with our heavenly Father. So this morning, if you don't have a good relationship with your dad, if there is hurt and pain, whether it might be abuse, I apologize to you. I'm so sorry and so sad that you've had to walk that journey, because it is extremely difficult. But your Heavenly Father wants you to know that he loves you and that he's not like you were treated. He has love and grace in his heart for you. I hope that was for someone this morning. It just kind of hit me. Your heavenly Father wants you to know that he loves you, and that your human father's actions do not reflect how your heavenly Father cares and feels about you. See, our relationships with our human father has a direct correlation. I have a great relationship with my dad. In fact, they just moved to Paulsbo yesterday, and really excited. They got out of the kind of the busyness of the west side and moved over here where life's a little slower, thankfully. I have a great relationship with my dad. I respect him. I love him. I'm so glad that I can spend time with him and be closer to him. But I know that may not be for some of you. Some of you may have lost your dad. That's a painful thing too. Your heavenly Father wants to step in and fill that void and let you know that he loves you. See, in every conflict, we're going to respond typically in two ways, fight or flight. Some want to fight. I have been around people, I swear their spiritual gift is argument. Have you ever been around those people? They just want to argue, man, and they got to win. They got to win. And it's not a bad thing. I love a good discussion, but I don't really like conflict. And then I think, I don't know, I don't want a show of hands, but you know what you're like in conflict. I think a lot of people tend to run from conflict. We tend to want to avoid it. I would be more in the tend to want to avoid it category. I'm not really a conflict type person, but oftentimes in a leadership role, we're called to resolve conflict. And so I've had to learn how to do that. Still learning, it's a process, but we tend to want to fight or flight. And so let me introduce a third response to you, which is what we're going to really focus in on this morning. Leaning into it and responding in a godly way. Sometimes that's difficult in conflict. Conflict can be intense. But if we step back and take a look at it, there is a godly way to respond. Now, what's the first thing that you think of when I think conflict? Some people think of hurts, pain. Some people think of fights. Some of you in this room might be in conflict with someone for years. And you've just never been able to work that out. It can bring up such negative emotions. You might have a conflict that's raging. Let me ask you this question. Whether you have a raging conflict or you just have no conflict at all in your life, I promise you, within 15 minutes of walking out that door, you probably will. How are we going to respond? Let me define conflict in two different ways. Conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. Or look at it this way. Conflict is the tension that develops when two or more people differ over expectations, purposes, goals, values, or desires, and or compete for limited resources, status, or position. Conflict can be difficult. Conflict can be intense. And it's our opportunity to respond, either fight, flight, or we can respond in a godly way. Let's look at what the scripture says. There is a myriad of scriptures on conflict, and really, it's interspersed throughout scripture of how to deal with this conflict. But let's take a look at several this morning. Leviticus 19:18. This is important. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Powerful scripture. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. But love your neighbor as yourself. See, it's getting our eyes off ourselves, getting out of that self-narcissistic focus, and putting them on God. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. It comes back to listen, forgive, extend grace. These are contrary to our natural human nature, aren't they? We want to seek revenge. Our culture is built on revenge. Look at the political arena right now. It is just dog eat dog. It is just fight, fight, fight. Conflict, conflict, conflict. Republican, Democrat, right wing, left wing, conservative, liberal. You name it, it's in conflict, and it always will be. And I think I don't want to get in the political realm, but the person who can manage that conflict is going to be the one who can raise above. Look at these verses, James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Listen, forgive, extend grace. Now let me say right there, that doesn't mean we be passive and let people roll over us. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about when you get into conflict, You have to know how to handle it in a healthy way. Proverbs 17:19. He who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Whoever covers an offense promotes love. Let me ask you, has Jesus covered your offenses? We just celebrated that, didn't we? He died on the cross so that we would be forgiven. He covered our offenses. We can probably do a better job at covering others' offenses. Titus 3:2, remind people to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility to all men. Slander no one, to be peaceable. See, we're called to be peacemakers, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, forgive, extend grace. We naturally want to stand our ground and tell our story. We want to fight for what we think is right because we differ in that conflict, and we're going to win because that's what we need to do. But we're actually called to be peacemakers. And again, that doesn't mean being passive. That doesn't mean being non-confrontational when we've been wronged. It doesn't mean that we just roll over and act with passivity. It means that in all things we should look to make peace. We should look to find resolution. We should look to find unity. We should look to forgiveness. We should look to find forgiveness. We should look to forgive and extend grace. Being a peacemaker is also one of the most powerful things that we can do for those around us. It sets an example. It shows Christ's love in us going out to others. Consider our human condition. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. That's Proverbs 17:14. Drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Sometimes we have to step back and we have to ask ourselves, is this really worth me getting in conflict over? Is the cap on the toothpaste tube worth getting in conflict over? Well, now they have flip tops, don't they? I say that somewhat jokingly. We have to step back and ask ourselves sometimes, is this really worth getting in conflict over? In fact, 2 Timothy, the Bible says, do not be involved in, different translations say different things, but I like the translations, don't be involved in a stupid argument. How often do we do that? We have to step back sometimes. James 4:1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? We just talked about that a little earlier. Self, me, sin. It's all the DNA of sin is selfishness. So this verse says, what causes fights? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? We're called to be peacemakers and deal with conflict in our families and with godly character. So during this series, we're going to examine several different things. We're going to be talking three basic ways people respond. Talked about that already this morning. Fight, flight, or we can act in a godly way. We're going to be keying in on the biblical way of responding. We're going to be able to identify what our default response is. You may already know what your default is, or you may be going, I'm not sure. Sometimes I like to fight, sometimes I don't want conflict. We're going to help define that and be able to take a look at that from a biblical perspective. We're talking about how to help our students resolve conflict. You know, we have almost 700 students in our schools, and we have student ministries pastor who has several kids involved in student ministries. If those kids can learn to resolve conflict now at their ages, what an advantage for them in their lives. We're going to be talking about how and when, we can talk about children too, teaching our children, young children with Pastor Shelley, how to resolve conflict in their own lives. We're going to be talking about how and when you should confront and when you should just step back. We're going to be talking about the four G's of conflict resolution, and then we're going to start with the first one this morning, which is, I think, probably the most important because all the other three lead out of this one. The first G is glorify God. We'll go through all four of them so you can see them, but number one is glorify God. How can I glorify and honor him in this situation? Number two, get the log out of your eye. How have I contributed to this conflict, and what do I need to do to resolve it? Number three, gently restore. How can I help others to understand how they have contributed to this conflict? Number four, go and be reconciled. How can I demonstrate forgiveness and encourage a reasonable solution to this conflict? So let's talk about the first G this morning, glorifying God. How do we glorify God in everything that we do? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's everything. That's taking our whole life, like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, taking our whole walking around life, everything that you do, we want it to glorify God. We want to be an offering of worship to Him. So everything that we do, everything that we're thinking, everything that you're facing in your life, every conflict that you might not be in or every conflict that is coming, we have an opportunity to glorify God. Now, how do we glorify God? Number one, by trusting Him. Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." Commit your way to the Lord. There are times when our response to conflict in our families, in our close relationships, there are times when we just have to trust God's going to work this out. It may seem like it's a lost cause. It may seem like there's no hope. But we have to just trust. Have you ever heard the term childlike faith? If you're new to Christianity, that's a term that's used in Scripture. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And He talked about the little children having faith like a child. See, a child just believes. And sometimes after all our hurts and after all our experiences, all the things we've been through, we can tend to become cynical. We can tend to become callous. We can tend to become almost our heart gets hardened. And then we just protect ourselves. We're like, talk to the hand. We want to protect ourselves, don't we? Because conflict hurts. Unresolved conflict hurts. And so we have to really dig deep. We have to trust Him. Number two, by obeying Him. This is a wrongly taught word in much of our society. Obedience, we think of this. Okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I guess I'll just have to do it because I guess that's the right thing. And I'm throwing a fit like a 5-year-old at Target. And I'll just do what you want me to do. That's not obedience. See, obedience is this. Obedience is our ability to come alongside God, understand that He wants the best for us, understand that His word was not meant to keep us under His thumb. His word was not meant to control us. His word was meant to free us. And so when we obey His word, when we obey His spirit, when we obey, that actually frees us. It's actually a freeing concept, just like surrender. Surrender is not a popular word in Christianity. Surrender is not a popular word in our world. I know this because as a worship leader, we would sing songs like "All to You I Surrender," and 3/4 of the congregation stopped singing. It's not a popular concept, but surrender is a powerful concept. So is obedience. Obedience is meant to free us. When we obey, He's actually freeing us from destruction, freeing us from holding on to that conflict, freeing us from holding on to bitterness and letting that bitterness grow within us. And we also glorify God by imitating Him. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Because you are His dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God." And the key in that verse is live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Living a life of love. The only way we can do that is obedience, by trusting Him, by forgiving, by listening, by extending grace. Because if we're left to our own accord, if we're left to our own vices, we're going to want to fight that conflict. We're going to want to get in there and win because it's all about us. But when we have God and our hearts in the right place, we can step back sometimes, and we have to do that. Sometimes you have to step back from a conflict and say, I need to step back. I need to take a look at this and make sure this is worth fighting. There are different responses, and today, or this morning, we need to look into our hearts. We may need to look deep inside. Conflict sometimes means you may have to walk away from a conflict. You may have to say, you know what, I am not entering this conflict right now until I get by myself, I can review what's going on, I can take a look at Scripture and make sure that I'm glorifying God in this conflict. Sometimes there's a need to confront. It's inevitable. Sometimes there's a need you're going to have to stand and confront. But if we do it with God's guidance, it won't be about us. It'll be about finding resolution. It'll be about finding the solution that both parties can agree to through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. It won't be about what we want. It won't be about we got to win. How and when is what we'll be getting to over the next couple of weeks, but we always need to keep focused on glorifying God through this whole concept of conflict. See, conflict provides an opportunity for us to grow. It's a reality. It's a fact of life. We're going to have conflict. Spouses, have you ever had conflict? I have a 15-year-old who started driving recently, and I have a 12-year-old who will be 13 in January. There's conflict. They're great girls. I love them to death. I give my life for them. But because they're teenagers and they're developing their own independence and their own styles, we have conflict. Dad's not cool anymore. Hopefully someday I will be. But conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen. And so how we manage it is critical. Look back at that Corinthians verse. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This has to become our focus in everything that we do, is living for His glory. Make sure that everything we do is through His Word and that we're guided by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Some of you may be here this morning and you've been living in a raging conflict for years. It might be with a spouse. It might be with a son or a daughter. It might be with another family member, a parent, a friend, a coworker. Some of you might be in a great place. You're not living in conflict right now. I'm glad for that. But I guarantee you, when you walk out those doors, you'll be faced with some sort of conflict. Some of you might be wrestling with this morning going, I've never really thought of conflict as a critical component of discipleship. I've never really thought of conflict as something I need to deal with in my heart. Some of you are dealing with your heart right now. Some of you may have a son or daughter who's going through a conflict, through a marriage crisis, or some of you may have a parent who's going through a marriage crisis, through a conflict, or a work crisis, or whatever the case may be, a relational crisis. Wherever you're at this morning, I guarantee you this, God wants us to handle conflict in a healthy way, and He wants us to do it because it reflects who He is when we resolve conflict healthily. Is that a word? So this morning, as we pray and as we close, you may need to deal with this message this morning. You may walk out that door and go, I got to deal with this even though I don't want to. You may have that run response, that flight response. I encourage you to think about what we've talked about this morning. Listen, forgive, extend grace. Glorifying God in all that you do. So when conflict comes, and it will, You have that basis. You have that foundation to handle conflict with health. So let's pray this morning. Father, in each one of us, we have an innate response to fight, to flight. But Your Word gives us an opportunity to grow. Your Word gives us an opportunity to deal with conflict in a healthy way. And each one of us, Lord, deal with conflict probably on a daily basis, probably multiple times a day. How are we going to handle this? Lord, help us, direct us to Your Word. Help us to step back and say, Lord, what do I need to do in this situation? Help us, Lord, to listen. Help us, Lord, to forgive. Unforgiveness is deadly, Lord. You forgave us. Have You not covered our sins? We should forgive the sins of others. Help us, Lord, to extend grace. You've extended more grace to me than I could even possibly imagine. Some I don't even know. Help me to be an extender of grace. Help each of my friends here today extend grace in their own circle of influence, in their own families, in their own lives, in their own world. Lord, help us to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on You. Help us, Lord, to, as we celebrated communion, keep our eyes on the cross, keep our eyes on the fact that You went to the cross for us, showed us such amazing grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Help us to do the same. And Lord, when conflict arises, help us to handle it in a godly way. As we walk through this series, Lord, I pray that there are principles that each of us can apply to our own lives. And Lord, we want to glorify you. That's our desire. In everything that we do, we want to glorify you, Lord. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all